sports and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at hims.com/joy. And from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit. hims.com/joy.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This assessment about the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York, mentioning abuse of his ex-girlfriend Cassie Ventura, and attorney Areva Martin to ABC News.
It is really damning testimony against Sean Combs. When you look at the number of witnesses that have come into that courtroom that have corroborated violence that was perpetrated against Cassie and others, really, really compelling testimony for the prosecution.
In a reversal from what he told a Senate committee, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has removed COVID vaccines from recommended shots for healthy children and pregnant women. ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton.
When you look at the data, over 70% of people have at least one health condition that increases their risk for a worse outcome with COVID-19.
Despite what aid groups say, operations getting food to people in Gaza have succeeded, says State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce, calling reports of violence gossip. This is ABC News. Britain's King Charles making this rare speech today, opening the new Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. He's head of the Commonwealth, which Canada's part of. This amid President Trump's comments about making Canada the 51st state.
A confident Canada, which has welcomed new Canadians, including from some of the most tragic global conflict zones, can seize this opportunity by recognizing that all Canadians can give themselves far more than any foreign power on any continent can ever take away.
After a mass shooting Memorial Day in Philadelphia's Fairmount Park left two people dead, at least nine others hurt, Mayor Sherelle Parker says it's everybody's problem.
We can't police our way out of this. The park rangers can't do this alone. Our approach is comprehensive.
The mayor says that parents have to police their kids. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Memorial Day savings are here at the Home Depot, with free delivery and up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $450 off select appliances like LG. Plan your get-togethers with an LG refrigerator you can count on at the Home Depot. And with a connected ThinQ app, you'll know when to replace the filter. Spend less time worrying this Memorial Day with savings on LG, America's most reliable appliance brand, at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid May 15th through June 4th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
These are all the things you would hear upon getting into and starting your car. Going wherever the road takes you. It's just, there was one sound noticeably missing.
Oh, man.
Remember, click it or ticket. You don't want to fine, and it just might save your life. So don't risk it. Click it or ticket. This message is brought to you by NHTSA.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Concerns are raised following State Public Service Commission approval of two new natural gas-fired power plants in southeast Wisconsin.
The PSC signed off last week on the We Energies plant, part of a $2 billion project to respond to expected increases in demand from new AI data centers. Tom Content with the Citizens Utility Board representing customers says if that income doesn't pan out, residential and small business ratepayers could be saddled with costs.
We want to make sure that all customers are protected.
Environmental groups are concerned, too, although the gas plant proposed for Oak Creek would be less polluting than the coal-fired We Energies units it would replace. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
While looking for a missing boater in a Madison lake, a body unrelated to that search was discovered. Authorities say the body of a man was recovered from Lake Monona Friday night. The find came during a recovery effort to find the boater who went missing when a group's sailboat capsized on the lake earlier this month. The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office says they'll perform additional testing to confirm the identity of the man found over the weekend while the search for the missing boater continues. Summer is here, which means more grilling, backyard campfires, and burning brush. UW Health Adult Trauma Dr. Patrick Shahan offers up some tips on how to prevent fire-related injuries.
Not using anything that is not specifically labeled as a fire starter to start a fire. The use of gasoline, diesel fuel, any other sort of flammable accelerant is extremely dangerous and probably one of the most common reasons that people end up coming under our care.
Shahan says if you experience a burn, don't hesitate to reach out to a local care provider to find out what treatment's needed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy, slightly breezy, with a chance of spotty sprinkles this afternoon and high temperatures flirting with 70. Drizzle is possible tonight, and some scattered showers and maybe a rumble of thunder tomorrow. Temperatures slide to the mid-60s, and then the sunshine returns on Thursday, and so do the 70s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 64.
Is AOA, produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we have a busy one. We're going to talk with House Ag Chairman G.T. Thompson. He'll be with us coming up here in segment three after the bottom of the hour. We want to get his perspective on that House reconciliation bill that passed last week and is now on to the Senate. We're going to talk about the ag provisions in that reconciliation bill and more. We'll talk with Chairman Thompson coming up in just a little bit. We also have a look at news headlines later in the show. Before that, we're going to sit down with Farm Progress policy editor Josh Bakey and get an update from him on what the prospects look like for reconciliation in the Senate. We might talk a bit about that MAHA Commission report and more. So looking forward to catching up with Josh and seeing what stories he is working on here in just a little bit. Helping us get things started on the program, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, it's good to catch up with you again this week. And hope you had a great weekend. Sounded like maybe some cooler temperatures where you were at over the weekend, John.
Yeah, it was cool up for me. I went to my parents' place in Wisconsin, but we escaped the rain for the most part. We had a few sprinkles on Saturday, but no big deal. There was a bunch of rain well to our south and west, though. I mean, starting, I think, on Friday, stuff really started out in the plains and then just spread across the south and southeast for the whole weekend, and saw lots of severe weather. But, you know, I think it's the rainfall amounts that really pop, you know, and for some areas, that's kind of what they needed. A continuation of some good weather across Nebraska, plenty of rain there into Kansas and farther south through Texas as well. For those in southwest Texas and western Oklahoma, they share the thankfulness of Nebraska and Kansas with getting some good rainfall amounts in there. But man, it was flooding rain east of that. So eastern Oklahoma and Texas eastward, a lot of that rain was not welcome. And it was a lot of rain too, Jesse. I mean, we've been talking about it all spring. They've been kind of getting pounded there through the Delta region, through portions of the Southeast, fairly frequently. And it was another, if you add up the whole weekend there, there's a lot of 2 to 4 inch rainfall amounts, some cases even more. So, flooding has been a concern there, and some severe weather came with that as well. So kind of a raucous weekend for those of us, or those of you in the South, not us. I'm well to the north of all that.
Well, John, you mentioned all that rain. Some areas, again, very welcome. Some areas, not so much. And we've seen some relatively cooler temperatures, I would say, here the last week or so. So as we're getting into the end of May, we're getting ready to kick off June next week. What's this weather pattern looking like across much of the central U.S., the Midwest here and more? I mean, are we going to stay cool and damp? Are we going to start to warm up? What's the outlook looking like, John?
Yeah, we kind of, we're stuck with this upper level low, and we've had several of these this spring across the country, and it was spinning kind of around Iowa, Minnesota here right now, and it's going to just very slowly pinwheel its way eastward here this week. So the Midwest is going to see showers, but the really heavy rainfall is going to continue across the South. We're going to have continued waves and periods and pockets and clusters and all kinds of, adjectives you can throw at it about how the rain's going to come. But we're going to see several periods of it. It's going to add up to a bunch more rainfall for those across the South and Southeast. This weekend, it kind of wraps its way up into the Northeast, and they'll get a bunch of rain. But, you look at the Corn Belt as a whole, and we got scattered showers. There'll be mostly a nuisance, though, this week. If you're going to go out and do some field work, you may have to dodge a few of those, but we're not expecting any real pockets of heavy rain with it. It looks a lot of light to maybe moderate rainfall amounts here. Most areas across the Midwest look like they'll get less than a half inch throughout the whole week. So you may see showers every day and only get a half inch or less out of it. So take that, I guess, with a grain of salt. I'm sure there'll be pockets where some of these showers hit and they're a little bit heavier, and we get more than that, but those will be, I think, fewer and farther between. So the Corn Belt stays fairly dry, honestly, this week, even though we'll have showers around. But it's going to be the South again, where we're going to see tons of rain. A lot of the forecasts there are calling for another 1 to 3. So that's inches, unfortunately. We'll get prepared to deal with that. I mean, a lot of soils out there right now across the South are very wet, very soggy. We've got ponding, we've got flooding, we got all kinds of messes with that. So we're going to hope for some changes. And that looks like it does start to come here later this week, Jesse. Once we finally get that low off to the East Coast, we'll get into a somewhat different weather pattern moving in, where we're going to kind of flip the script a bit. So we'll dry out the South going into early June, and then the North will get their chance at seeing some storm systems moving through. Maybe frequently next week. So we'll see if we can bring in some more rain to those areas that kind of need it. We still are dealing with drought across portions of the northern plains and upper Midwest. So we might flip it in a positive way for both sections of the country.
John, any notes from other parts of the world that you were tracking here this week?
Yeah, Brazil might be a little interesting. We're kind of at the tail end of their Safrina corn season down there. But there's a big front moving through this week, and there's some very cold temperatures moving in behind it. So we could see some frost in far southern Brazil. It does clip some of their Safrina corn areas, and a bigger state down there of Paraná might see that. Farther south than that, it doesn't really matter too much. But that state of Paraná might be interesting to see if they get some frost in there to impact their corn development. Europe has been kind of a weird beast this year. Oh, it's a large area, so it kind of tends to be sometimes. But northwestern areas of the continent have been pretty dry this spring. and in need of some rain. They got a little bit over the weekend, and they'll have some periods here this week, but it looks like maybe next week could be a significant one for them. They might see some bigger storm systems moving through, so that might help them out. And then the Black Sea region, too. So with the western half of Ukraine and Belarus, Moldova, they've had some good rainfall, but eastern areas of Ukraine and western Russia have been kind of spotty. I mean, it's been continued showers for the past couple of weeks, but it's been spotty and light amounts for the most part. So it hasn't really impacted those long, deep drought conditions across those areas. And they start to dry out here this week and you know, still maybe some spotty showers, but overall pretty dry in there. So we'll be watching that, especially for the corn crop coming up, but wheat will be first on the table for that. Then we got all kinds of pockets of dryness in other parts of the world too, in China, in Australia, and you know, we'll be keeping our eye on that. So there's you know, concerns out there across large portions of significant farmland across the world, and we'll have to keep our eye on that as crops keep developing over the course of the summer.
Fantastic. Well, as always, we appreciate the forecast details. Folks can go to DTNPF.com for more. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, good to talk with you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
AOA here is going to continue coming up next, as we'll talk about some of the issues impacting farm policy on Capitol Hill. We'll talk with Josh Bakey from Farm Progress next on AOA. On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed what crop inputs we import and why farmers need market access through trade with J.R. Raisner, Corn Board member from Indiana.
Potash is a big item in growing crops. Right now, we import about 90% of the potash that we use. Canada's our number one supplier. We also source from Russia, China, and Belarus. Making sure that we have that product available at a price that we can, you know, afford to put that on the crop. We talked quite a bit about the input side and, you know, the ability for the U.S. to produce and supply the inputs that we need. But as we look at the product we grow, nobody grows corn better than the U.S. farmer. And there's a lot of demand out there in having these trade deals in place, having access to these countries. Right now, we need those export markets to use the crops that we have.
Stay up to date and learn more at ncga.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home. They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
It's just around the corner, the 62nd annual Duran Fun Fest, June 6th through the 8th at Memorial Park. The Fun Fest Medallion Hunt starts June 2nd. Chicken dinners will be served Saturday and Sunday to support Faith Lutheran Church. Music with the Johnny Holm Band on Friday and the Dweebs Saturday night. Badgerland Midway Rides are back and the Grand Parade is Sunday at 2. Duran Fun Fest, sponsored in part by Advent Health and Security Financial Bank.
To learn more.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And a as we continue here on today's Agriculture of America. Let's get caught up on some of the various news items that we've been paying attention to from Capitol Hill and across the policy landscape. Joining us now, he is policy editor for Farm Progress. Josh Bakey is with us here today. Josh, it is good to talk with you again. Hope all is well.
All good here, Jesse. Always good to be here.
Well, I know we were chatting a bit during the commercial break and just talking about the news cycle and the amount of items that are out there for us to track. It's seems like a never-ending process here for us as of late. And I know one of the big things that we've both been taking a look at is this reconciliation process, the one big, beautiful bill making its way out of the House by the slimmest of margins last week, and now it's on to the Senate. And we're going to hear more from GT Thompson coming up a little bit on the show about the House side of this. But your perspective on the bill and just what it means for agriculture, Josh, and what are you hearing on the Senate side? We can touch on that a little bit as well.
Sure. You know, I think from the House side, you know, the key takeaways are, you know, the House proposal the passed last week or the week before, so I'm losing track here. You know, it does increase reference prices for all commodities, increase the support for crop insurance, and to achieve those increases in spending, and to achieve, you know, some of the cuts that they were directed to, the committee was directed to by the budget committee. They slashed nutrition spending. SNAP spending is going to be cut by between $290 billion, $300 billion. Some of that's done through changes to the program, some of that's done through cost sharing to the states. And I think the big question coming out of this are number one, you know, what does this do to the Farm Bill coalition going forward? Because obviously this is, you know, Republican-backed proposal. Democrats are livid with the cuts to SNAP. And then how similar will the Senate version look to this? And, you know, is this bill going to look anything like what ultimately gets passed by Congress?
Well, and you mentioned that House coalition, or well, just the ag coalition in general, and that has been a bit of a concern here. We heard comments from South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson last week when we asked him about maybe some fracture in that farm food coalition, the four quarters of the ag committee. Is that something? What's your level of concern, I guess I would say, in terms of that coalition being a bit fractured here, Josh? What are you hearing?
You know, I mean, I think ranking member Angie Craig, the Democratic leader in the House, you know, said it best. You know, I think she, I don't remember exact words, but basically said the Farm Bill coalition is broken. And, you know, I think, you know, if this bill passes, you know, we may not see another Farm Bill for a year or two until, you know, we have new membership in the House and Senate. But that being said, you know, we haven't had that coalition hasn't been able to get anything through in the past couple of years. So, you know, while it might make it look less likely we get a farm bill in the next year or two, we haven't got one in the past couple of years either. So I don't know how much it changes, but it definitely doesn't bring a lot more hope for a full farm bill anytime soon.
What about on the Senate side? We know that there's a lot of talk. There's going to be some sort of changes, especially surrounding SNAP, Medicaid, things like that. And then this is going to ultimately have to go back to the House. Anything you're hearing from the Senate side in regards to what they could try to change or tweak with this full reconciliation?
Yeah, it's going to get kind of messy in the Senate. You know, we've heard Agriculture Chair John Bozeman, you know, on the one hand say he's optimistic he can pass a bill this summer. On the other hand, there's some open questions within the committee about the SNAP proposal that came through the House, you know, specifically that the plan to pass costs along to some of the states. That some of the even Republican members have questioned, you know, if that's the right way forward. And then just from the Senate perspective, you know, broadly speaking outside of agriculture, you have senators pushing for more spending cuts. You know, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the version by the House is going to raise the deficit by $3.8 trillion. You know, Speaker Johnson disagrees with that. But you have people like, you know, Rand Paul, for example, saying, you know, he's not going to vote to approve raising the debt ceiling, which is a key priority, you know, for President Trump in this big, beautiful beautiful bill. You also have some Republican senators on the other side saying, you know, they're not comfortable with some of the cuts to Medicaid that were in the House bill. So yeah, you have pressure from both sides. And keep in mind, there's only Republicans can only afford to lose 4 votes and pass this. You know, Democrats are not inclined to support this at all. So we have a big battle shaping up in the Senate. And then, whatever gets through the Senate then goes back to the House, setting up a whole other battle. So, you know, we've heard about the negotiations in the House for the past month. We're about to hear the same thing from the Senate. And then the third battle from there between the two chambers as they work to find a compromise between their two bills. Sorry, I can't talk today.
That's all good. All good. Policy editor for Farm Progress, Josh Bakey's with us here today on AOA. Let's segue over, and I know there's been plenty of headlines from USDA here as of late. We talked about this a bit earlier this month. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins was in Nebraska and rolled out the Small Family Farms Plan. Talk about that and just some of your perspective on this initiative that has been rolled out from the Department of Ag.
Yeah, you know, she announced the plan. They called it the Small Family Farms Policy Agenda. I honestly don't think it's anything earth-shattering that we haven't heard from the secretary before, but it kind of formalizes, you know, a lot of her philosophy and the Trump administration's philosophy on how they see their vision for agriculture. You know, a lot of it is, you know, streamlining, cutting back regulations, streamlining processes. They say, you know, this will help, you know, farmers be more profitable, help make it easier for farmers to access credit. You know, they touched on the need for, ag labor reforms, of, you know, finding more streamlined ways to get laborers into the country. I think the key thing is there's a lot of specific policy proposals in this document. You know, it's more of a blueprint, a template to what they hope to achieve. But as far as how they're going to do that, there's not a lot of specifics in there. Secretary Rollins said to expect more announcements in the coming weeks and months. And I think we're going to, you know, wait to see how they interpret this agenda into actual policy proposals.
Well, I wonder as well if there's a lot of news surrounding USDA right now. So it seems that there's been a fair amount of these policy proposals with more details on the way as we navigate a lot of changes at the Department of Ag right now, Josh.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, you recall back in, you know, February and March, we had the DOGE commission coming in, Elon Musk, you know, things were, you know, happening left and right. And now, you know, that pace seems to have slowed down, and it's all kind of a waiting game trying to figure out, okay, what was the proposal? What's actually in effect? Like, for example, USDA has reportedly, laid off around 15,000 workers since the beginning of Trump administration. That includes people that took, you know, voluntary early retirement. There was supposed to be a plan coming out at the end of this month about how the secretary intended to reorganize USDA. That's been delayed. I believe she cited, you know, lawsuits against some of the other policies that came in previously as kind of holding up that reorganization. But, you know, we really don't have much idea what that's going to look like. The same goes, you know, for a lot of these other policy proposals. You know, we talked about, you know, a couple of months ago, the IRA funding that had been frozen and released. You know, according to the secretary, most of that has been released at this point. Talking to farmers in the field, there's still a lot of confusion regarding when they're going to get their payments, if they're going to get their payments. And I think that's just kind of a microcosm of, you know, kind of what's going on more broadly at USDA. We know a lot of things are coming, but specifics, we just keep saying we're waiting. A lot of uncertainty, but that continues to be the case.
We got about a minute, just a little over a minute here, Josh, as we wrap up the MAHA Commission report out last week, and many in production agriculture pushing back on that report. It sounds like a lot of folks in ag are gearing up for a MAHA fight with that commission, Josh.
Yeah, you know, I think real quickly, there's this kind of two ways to look at this. On the one hand, there is language in there, you know, regarding pesticides, regarding seed oils that a lot of farmers, a lot of ag organizations are really concerned about. On the other hand, you know, as I think Senator Chuck Grassley said this morning, he said it wasn't nearly as strong on pesticides or anti-pesticides as he expected. You know, he said he's going to kind of take a wait and see attitude and learn more about what they're saying. And I think it remains to be seen, you know, is this really going to lead to other policies, or again, this is just, you know, RFK Jr.'s manifesto and nothing else happens from there. I guess time will tell.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is it just something that's going to get thrown out there and no action taken, or do we have more down the road that we have to pay attention to? That remains to be seen. Folks can stay up to date with your stories. I know they can go online, farmprogress.com. Josh Bakey, policy editor for Farm Progress. Good to talk with you again, my friend. Thanks for joining us on the show. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, you do the same. Always good chatting with you, Jesse.
Josh Bakey with us here today on AOA. Coming up next on the program, we're going to sit down for a conversation with House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. He joins us next on AOA Agriculture All America.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. June milk up 30 to 1964, July up 53 to 2018, August up 32 to 1983, September milk up 21 to 1959. Live and feeder cattle markets were mostly lower on the day as the market's concern were stemming from the fact that this week's processing is expected to be dramatically lower than in recent weeks as packers continue to find ways to build up supply around them and avoid driving the cash cattle markets any higher. Meanwhile, hog markets mostly higher as strength in pork cutout values up 291, helping to support the market. June live cattle down 67 cents to 215.12. August feeder cattle down 222 to 298.15. June hogs up 80 cents to 99.10. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly lower. Wheat also mostly lower. Strength in the dollar and little fresh news helped to pressure wheat markets. Positive weather that should help the corn crop to continue to advance, pressuring corn. Now soybean markets, though, were also mostly higher on the day. A little bit of short cover as well, but planting also be slowed by near-term rains and cooler weather into next week. New crop corn down 4.25 to 446.5. New crop beans up 0.25 to 10.50¾. July wheat down 14 to 528.5.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
This message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on Agriculture of America, pleased to talk with House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. Chairman Thompson, it is good to hear from you again. And I know a busy couple of weeks for you on Capitol Hill, but the House passing reconciliation here this past week, and it included some key pieces of the Farm Bill for American agriculture, didn't it?
No, absolutely. The, you know, the agriculture title in the big, beautiful bill in reality is, well, it's the Farm Bill 1.0, providing the biggest investments in American farmers in at least a generation. So it's very exciting. A lot of hard work. Went 2 days with very little sleep most recently as the bill made its way out of the budget committee and into through the rules committee and ultimately a successful vote on the House floor.
Your thoughts on some of those key provisions that made it in with reconciliation? And I know there was a lot of talk about things surrounding reference prices and updating base acres and things of that nature. Can you talk about some of those key pieces?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the Farm Safety Net provisions, which is literally Title I of the Farm Bill, you know, that includes an investment of basically just about $60 billion in reference prices. So, you know, each of the commodities will, with what we pass, would receive maybe not what they wanted, but what they needed. You know, we did it based on the individual needs of each of the commodities. The range is 10 to 20%, a significant investment. And you know, we are providing for base acre opportunities within this bill, which is the first time in a very long time. And then improvements to the dairy margin programs within that particular, within Title I of the Farm Bill, modernizing feed costs and raising the limit from 5 to 6 million pounds. And that's just Title I. Then you go on and, Jesse, you talk about the conservation programs, a significant increase in investment there using the former IRA conservation dollars. They're now in the Farm Bill baseline, so not just helpful this time, but every Farm Bill in the future. Crop insurance investments, it's going to make the purchase of crop insurance more affordable and assist with some disaster losses that, you know, currently relies on ad hoc assistance. And then a hot topic everybody's talking about right now is trade. And we're seeing new and exciting markets with the success of the president, even just a little over 100 days in office. Of trade negotiations. So our farmers are going to need some new tools, and that's why we're able to let this bill double the amount of money that we'll spend on the ag trade promotion programs, market access program for market development, put more money into specialty crop research initiative. We fund the Agriculture Research Facilities Act, ensuring America leads the world in agriculture science, technology, innovation. Something close to home for me, but for a lot of members in areas that are very rural that have national forests, we actually fund for several years the secure rural schools, which is really critical for those local school districts that are located in or near national forests. They don't have local property tax to rely on since the federal government owns everything. We provide increased investment, especially crop block grant resources. Increased investments in livestock biosecurity, supporting more large animal veterinarians, USDA labs, vaccination development, APHIS, and assistance for farmers impacted by animal disease. And then I'd say we actually fund the orphan programs that include the Wool Trust Fund, the FEMA Cotton Trust Fund, and the Citrus Greening Fund. That's all in the agriculture title. And you throw on top of that, the icing on the cake is through education workforce, the big beautiful bill corrects the Biden imposed student loan provisions that are based eligibility on assets that made it almost impossible for education assistance for farm kids. And we fixed the debt tax, going to help 98% of family farms. Made permanent that Trump tax cuts included the 199A provisions that benefits our farmers, and quite frankly, changed the tax code so the community banks can offer low interest loans to farmers in the same manner that they lend to municipalities, really saving the farmers a significant amount of money. And the exciting news, Jesse, I'll share with you, is we're starting on Farm Bill 2.0 for those provisions that were not eligible under reconciliation.
Well, that is good to hear, those provisions. So you're starting to work on those. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the SNAP portion of this. And I'll just say, I know a lot of your Democratic colleagues voicing a lot of concern over SNAP through this process. Any comments from you on some of those concerns that were voiced?
Oh, yeah. Their efforts to kill the most important piece of legislation that will positively serve the needs of all Americans, and the most vulnerable ones in particular, Democrats are falsely demonizing the provisions that we put in the reconciliation bill passed by the House regarding SNAP. And Democrats have based their accusations purely on fear-mongering and not facts. So just a few of those, Jesse, I can share with you. You know, they're fear-mongering that kids are going to go hungry when the fact is, I admit, hunger is real, and that's why I'm passionate about our nutrition programs. It's been recently driven up by the Biden-era inflation and, quite frankly, unacceptable state error rates. So what we did in the Big Beautiful Bill, nutrition provisions, we're going to make SNAP stronger for the most vulnerable, including kids. Those provisions provide opportunity for not just nutrition support, but also for assisting families to rise out of poverty with SNAP employment and career and technical education that nutrition title pays for. You know, the only way that kids really aren't going to be would be harmed is by, you know, if their parents would refuse to between the ages of 18 and 64, would refuse to participate in the provisions that provides for participation. And you have three options to pick from: 20 hours of education that we pay for, 20 hours of volunteer work, or 20 hours of employment. And about 24% of people on SNAP are currently employed. States are granted waiver authority if there's issues such as child care. There are several federal income-driven programs that support child care if the parent chooses to utilize that. You know, the other possibility of harm in nutrition is that if states, it is the states that have unacceptable error rates in administering the program. We're also hearing from, you know, Democrats fear-mongering kids are going to go hungry because of losing their access to free and reduced meals. And the fact is, though, that a family may not, if they don't qualify for SNAP benefits due to parent choice, they will be able to apply for free and reduced meals. It just, the Democrats have demonized as cruel someone actually having to apply, putting in writing how they qualify versus automatically gifting it to them. You know, taxpayer-funded programs to assist nutrition are important. There's no doubt about it. And requiring individuals to document their needs is important in preventing abuse of the program. There's, my friends across the aisle are, another fear-mongering point they say is veterans, the elderly, and disabled are going to lose access to SNAP due to work requirements. When the fact is, absolutely false. Veterans, the elderly, which would be 65 years of age and older, and individuals with disabilities are exempt from work requirements and will have access to the SNAP program. And then obviously they talk about because of there's a state cost share, the states won't fulfill that, which will prevent SNAP benefits being available to certain individuals. And, we do within the Big Beautiful Bill nutrition provision, states will have a cost share for the first time. But this is a nominal amount starting at 5%, and it is adjusted up based on any SNAP state error rate at 6% and above. The states have inflicted significant harm on SNAP beneficiaries for both executing both underpayments and overpayments that are arbitrarily clawed back in future months. So SNAP really is the only entitlement program that doesn't require a state cost share, and that's resulted in state error rates as well as bureaucratic delays when families need nutritional support. So, I mean, we truly do believe this will assure the sustainability of a properly administered program. And given the importance of nutrition programs, nutrition support, I mean, the states will comply. Those that choose to resist would be accountable to the voters in their respective states. So I don't see that happening.
Jeremy Thompson, as we close out here, I'll just ask, with the reconciliation process going over to the Senate now, what are you hearing from your Senate counterparts? How could that process potentially play out there? Have you heard anything with everything kind of moving over to the other chamber?
Well, we've been, obviously, everything that we do in the House, I've got such a great friend that is chairing the Senate Agriculture Committee in the form of Senator John Bozeman from Arkansas. He's a brother in the Lord, and we're really close. I haven't been doing the work I have been doing in a vacuum. So, the Senate will do what the Senate does, but I think that there's such a need here, and I think that we achieved probably the most transformational investment in America ever, quite frankly. When I look at the scope of what we accomplished with the Big Beautiful Bill, it's really exciting for the future of America from many different perspectives, not just the agriculture provisions that we just went over. There's so much more there. And I think that I would just ask all of my colleagues that are in the Senate that they work with due diligence and they get this done now. America needs these kinds of reforms today, and that we shouldn't drag this out too long. But it's clearly the ball is in their court at this point.
Well, with that, we are up against the clock. We do appreciate the time as always. House Ag Chairman GT Thompson, good to talk with you again, sir, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more on AOA right after this.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now. And there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COIN25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COIN25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COIN25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Hey, get in.
What? Who are you?
I'm future you. Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Yeah.
Mia, our doctor figured it out. She said it's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, and Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Get on board. The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board. Get on board.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as we continue. U.S.-China trade was top of mind at the U.S. Meat Export Federation Spring Conference that just wrapped up in Fort Worth, Texas. Guest speaker Dr. John Newton, the executive head of Terrain, told USMEF members on Friday that he expects the current tariff battle to lead to a Phase 2 trade agreement between the two countries, given that trade is clearly a priority for the Trump administration.
I might be one of the few people that thinks we're going to get a Phase 2 deal with China. How many people in the room think we're going to get a Phase 2 deal with China? Oh, more than I thought. I think it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen. I think what President Trump has to do is by March of next year, he's got to show real progress on the big, beautiful bill, real progress on trade deals, real progress on the economy. Because what happens in March of next year? Right into the midterms. Everybody in the House is going to be back in their districts campaigning. And what do they want to campaign on? Do they want to campaign on wins or losses? They want to campaign on wins, absolutely. So I think, you know, we've got about a 6 or 7 month window for some of these things to get done. And I'm pretty confident that they will get done.
Now, U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says offices have been focused on how to develop and capitalize on alternative destinations, such as a promotion with a large grocer in Korea to build sales of frozen beef cuts that would usually be exported to China.
We've become pretty good at being nimble because of all the uncertainty and unknowns in the global marketplace over the last several years. So when you see something like China happen where we're pivoting on the demand side, this is what our membership expects of us. You know, they're all well aware of the problems. You know, 150% tariff on beef into China is a big problem. But we try to come with solutions, or at least partial solutions, to help them out on the demand side. And that's our role. That's why we have these offices all over the world, 105 employees in 20 regions. And that's what they're there for.
And for more, please visit usmef.org. Well, it was Tuesday, May 20th, when Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. testified before a Senate committee hearing. During the hearing, Republican Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith from Mississippi grilled the leader of the Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA, Commission about its report that is critical of farm chemical use. She asked Kennedy point blank if he had been able to refute 50 years of U.S. government scientific reviews and if that would show up in the report.
Your information about the report is just simply wrong. The drafts that I've seen, there is not a single word in them that should worry the American farmer.
And you can prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt? That
well, you'll see the report. It's going to be released on Thursday. Everybody will see the report. And, you know, there's nobody that has a greater commitment to the American farmer than we do. The MAHA movement collapses if we can't partner with the American farmer in producing a safe, robust, and abundant food supply. And we understand that. I said during my campaign when I was running for president, and I have said repeatedly throughout this process, we cannot take any step that will put a single farmer in this country out of business.
Okay,
there's a million farmers who rely on glyphosate. There's a million farmers who rely on glyphosate. 100% of corn in this country relies on glyphosate. And we are not going to do anything to jeopardize that business model. We are.
But you're saying my comments are totally inaccurate. And today's
totally inaccurate.
Now, FIFRA, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, continues to use the Risk Cup concept, though it's been refined over time. The Risk Cup is a conceptual tool used by the Environmental Protection Agency to estimate the total pesticide exposure and risk to humans. It represents the total allowable risk from a pesticide, considering exposure from various sources like food, water, and residential uses. In other news headlines, well, the Memorial Day weekend is considered the official start to summer and the grilling season. Rabobank issued its yearly barbecue index, which determines the cost of a barbecue for 10 people. The index shows the cost of a Memorial Day meal for 10 was up 4.2% compared to last year. Lance Zimmerman, the senior beef analyst for Rabobank, says one of the big surprises is the increase in the cost of chicken for the grill being larger than the beef increase.
It is, and I think a lot of that, ironically, is having to do with rebounding demand that we're seeing for chicken breast at food service right now. There's a massive focus on value, especially among quick service restaurant chains today. And as they look at trying to find ways to minimize costs, to minimize price pressure on consumers, food service is chasing white meat chicken breasts hard. And as a result, it's leaving retail grocery stores in a little bit of a scramble mode and causing them to increase prices there. So you're certainly right. We're seeing actually a little bit more food inflation year over year among the chicken category than we are within ground beef.
Despite higher prices, he expects beef to remain at the center of most Memorial Day grilling.
You know, one of the things that you and I've talked about often is that beef is kind of that celebration protein. It's that item that takes the center of the plate when we're celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, and just special occasions with friends, which is what grilling season is all about. And so when it comes to some of these cost pressures that are facing consumers today, whether you're a low-income earner or among the highest income earners in America, typically the cost to upgrade your food is one of the cheapest premiums that you can pay in terms of what you can get in return for that additional dollar.
And Zimmerman says this is an important time of year for the beef and poultry industries.
It is. And, you know, May is beef month. And so the timing of this is certainly prudent. And as we look at the strength we're seeing right now in the beef and the cattle markets, some of this price increase is a reflection of that excellent demand that we talked about earlier. Some of it's due to some tightening of supply as well. And so as we look at it, in fact, when we look at ground beef in particular, it went through some massive month over month price increases in the first quarter. As we've now seen the April data officially come in, and my expectation is as we see May and June as well, those ground beef price increases month over month will actually be much smaller.
And once again, that's comments with Lance Zimmerman, senior beef analyst for Rabobank. And with that, we're out of time here on AOA Today. Thanks for joining us for the program. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk with the chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers, Amy France from Kansas, will join us. I'm sure she'll have some comments on that MAHA Commission report and much more. We'll also take a look at markets with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge. All that more coming up tomorrow on AOA. For now, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you.
LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe. No-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m. Big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas. The ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk. Real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally on your radio, smartphone.